Okay, William, here it is. I got chapter 6 of Stranded on Earth. And in this chapter, Igglypuff starts to work on his space cruiser. Well, where I left you, Igglypuff was at the home of Clem Goodlight, and he was playing with the kids, and the two girls, Ling Mi and Ming Li, were braiding his hair, and little baby Buster was crawling all over him, and he was listening to YouTubes and learning how to sing, and he was having a good time. And that night, the family went to bed, and they get up the next morning, and the same thing happened. Dr. Clem Goodlight went to work. The kids went to school. Mrs. Goodlight went to her work. And everybody was gone. And the house was empty. Well, not quite empty, as you think, as Maxie was there. That's Maxie the dog. I forgot to tell you about Maxie the dog. So Igglypuff wandered around the house again. He was kind of bored. He looked at the TV, started listening to the YouTubes. No, they were boring. He'd heard all that music. Baby, baby, baby. And he turned on some Spanish soap operas, and he learned a little more Spanish because his communicabulator was picking up Spanish too. And then he sat down, and Maxie came over and started licking his hands. Well, strange space alien creature, said Igglypuff. How are you? And how are you today? And Maxie sat down and looked at Igglypuff and went, woof, 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 woof. Igglypuff said, oh, strange space creature, you're speaking to me too. Communicabulator, interpret that. And the communicabulator went, huh? So Igglypuff said, well, strange space creature, talk to me some more. So Maxie went, meow, whine. Because dogs whine like that, but I don't do a very good imitation. And then, woof, 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 and started barking along, woof, woof, woof. Well, that communicabulator was doing pretty well because it was picking up Maxie and it was listening to Maxie, and all of a sudden it started to make sense. And Maxie was saying, hey, strange space alien creature, what are you doing here? You're brand new. Where did you come from? And Igglypuff looked at Maxie and said, oh, no, Maxie, you are the strange space alien creature. I am Igglypuff from Janakapalala, but glad to meet you. And he bowed really low to Maxie. And Maxie, who was a very, very polite little dog, put his paw in Igglypuff's hand. They were having a great time. Oh, my goodness, they were having a great time. Then it was lunch. And at lunchtime, Mrs. Goodlight came home. That's Shui Huang Goodlight came home. And she came home for lunch. And she sat down and said, oh, Igglypuff, would you like some lunch? And Igglypuff said, oh, and he got his communicabulator to say, I would be very pleased to eat with you, oh, space alien creature. So Shui Huang said, well, come on in. We're going to have, I got some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches I have left over from the kids. So she took the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and she put it into his dissolver pouch, and they dissolved, and he tried eating that with his tentacle hair, and ooh. That's a very interesting, that's a very interesting taste. And his communicabulator said, oh, thank you very much, strange space alien creature. And he said it himself. Well, you know, Shui Huang had a PhD in music. Did you know that? Did I tell you that? I think I told you that. And so she listened to Igglypuff. And she said, I wonder. And so you know what she did? She sang back exactly what Igglypuff had said to her. Igglypuff stopped and said, strange alien space creature, you're speaking to me, and you said, thank you very much. Is that correct? And he said, and his communicabulator said the same thing. And Shui Huang said, yes, I was trying to talk to you. And she sang back what Igglypuff had sung. Oh, my goodness, they were talking. Igglypuff couldn't believe his ears. He was a strange alien space creature, and it was she was talking to him. He couldn't believe it. He said, I wonder if I can teach her how to speak like a civilized being. So he said, strange space alien creature, would you like to learn how to speak like a Janakapalalan? And then his communicabulator said, strange space alien creature, would you like to learn how to speak like a Janakapalalan? Oh, my goodness. Shui Huang said, of course I would. So they started talking. Well, they talked and talked and talked, and it went on and on. And suddenly Shui Huang looked at her watch and said, oh, my goodness, I'm late. I have a meeting. Oh, I've got to go. And she started to run out the door. But then she stopped and she came back, and you know what she did? She kissed Igglypop on the forehead and said, "Oh, Igglypop, you're wonderful," and she ran out the door. Well, Igglypop, his tentacles were standing on end, his tentacle hair, whoa, he'd never been kissed before. What happened? He was almost like a big kid. Well, he was a big kid. He was so embarrassed. He was, oh. So he sat down on the floor again, and he talked to Maxie. He said, "Oh, strange alien space creature, what is this? This is kind of fun. You human beings are very strange beings, but I like this." And Maxie went, "Woof, woof, 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 woof." Well, even Maxie was starting to talk like Igglypop. Well, then the kids came home from school. "Hey, Ling Mi and Ming Li, woohoo!" And here was Clem Jr., Little Clem, "Hey, Igglypop, old buddy!" And they came home from school, and then in came Shui Huang, and she had little Buster, and Buster started crawling all over Igglypop. And then Dr. Goodlight came home early from school, and Shui Huang said, "Well, how did it go?" And he said, "Oh, dear, I started my classes, and I've got them all set up, but I got my whole semester all planned out, and I've got my syllabus in, and classes start next week, but oh, I feel so stressed. I got to do something about this space cruiser." She said, "Well, Clem, go out and mow the lawn. You always have fun when you're outside. Get outside and do something you can do." So we went out and mowed the lawn. Well, he tried to mow the lawn. Now, he had just recently bought a super turbocharged solar collector, amazing lawn agitator. And this was supposed to take your lawn down to make it look like it was beautiful, like you could play golf on it. And it was supposed to do it without any electricity going except from the sun. No juice, no gas, no wires, no battery. Just put it in the sun for a while and it would go. Well, he'd left it out in the sun all day. It should have been charged, charged, charged. But when he tried to start it, he looked at it. He was so frustrated. He kicked it. Ow! And he kicked his toe. Ow! He was so frustrated. He was irritated. He was very not happy. And he said, "Ah, I've had it." And he brought it into the garage. Well, Igglypop was watching through the window. And he said, "Well, this is very strange. This is just space strange. Space creature is working with an instrument of machinery, and he's kicking it. Well, you never kick your instruments of machinery. It'll upset the robots." So he came into the garage. Well, he could do that because the garage was connected to the house and nobody could see him because he had to still hide, you know. He was a space alien. So he came in and he said through his communicobobulator, "Oh, space alien creature, what is wrong with your machine person?" And Clem looked at him, looked down at his lawnmower, his lawn agitator, and he said, "This piece of junk won't start." And Igglypop said, "Oh, may I have a look?" But he said, "Woo, woo, 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 woo." And Shui Huang sang from the doorway, "Woo, woo, 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 woo," almost as so to say, "Can I have a look too?" Clem said, "Sure, you take a look, here." And he pulled down his toolbox. Well, he had a great toolbox. He had wrenches, he had sockets, he had all sorts of pliers, he had screwdrivers, he had multimeters, he had electric drill, he had everything you need to fix a lawnmower, lawn agitator. Igglypop looked at it and said, "Oh my dear, this is the most primitive set of tools I've ever seen. You mean they actually use these on their machine beings?" Well, he was still thinking like the space alien he was. And at Janakapalala, they had machines, but all the machines had robot beings in them because the machines helped you think. They thought for themselves. They weren't just... But anyway, he said, "Okay, I think I can figure this out." And he looked at the solar lawnmower, lawn agitator, and he said, "I wonder what's wrong." And he pressed the button, and it went... He said, something not right here. So he pulled out a screwdriver, looked at it, and tried that. He pulled out a wrench, tried that. And he just did, well, he is a trained space engine mechanic, right? He's a mechanical engineer. He's also an astrophysicist par excellence. But he said, "I can figure this out, even with these strange, primitive tools." It's almost like you having to, or your mom having to cut up meat with a flint knife from, you know, way 10,000 years ago. So he started working at it, and he finally got the top off, and he got the this off, and he got the solar collector off, and he got this, and he got, and he looked at it. And he looked at how it was put together. And he said, "Oh, These are very primitive people, but they have some interesting ideas. Now, this is not bad. The way they have this solar collector set up, it's not bad. It's a very primitive solar collector. I think I could probably help it out a little bit. Let's see, what if I do this? And he started dinking with the solar collector. He made this change, and he made that change. He changed two wires around, and he made the angle a little different. He said, that ought to be a little better. Let's see. And now, oh, look, it's got this funky little, what's this? And he was looking at the battery. Oh, I see, it must be an energy pack. Where's the robot? Where's the robot to control the energy pack? Well, there was no robot. He said, this is very, very primitive. I know what I can do. And then he took some wires, and he crossed them, and he put them together, and he connected the battery pack again to the solar collector. And then he said, I think this is going to work. And he put it all back together again, put the top back down, tightened it up, and then he tried pressing the button. Beep. And the lawn agitator went, it was ready to cut the grass. Woohoo! Good Light came on and said, what did you do? How did you do that? How did you fix that? Igglypop just said, and his communicator said, nah, piece of cake. It was okay, but I think you'll get better response time now. So Clem said, oh, well, that's really good. I like that, but it's too late now. It's too dark now to do it, but I'll mow the lawn tomorrow. So that night he sat down with Igglypop. And after dinner, they had a wonderful dinner. Oh, Shui Huang made meatloaf, and she had mashed potatoes and green beans, and she had jello for dessert, and they put it all in Igglypop's dissolvolator, and he drank it up, and oh, he loved this meal. Oh, he really loved it. You know what he loved the most? He loved the ketchup on the meatloaf. Oh, he drank that straight. Oh, this is so good. Oh, these people eat really well. Oh, I have to remember this. Well, then Clem Goodlight said, look it, we got to put the kids to bed, and then we need to talk. We need to figure out what to do. So Igglypop sat and had a little conversation with Maxie, said his communicator, and Maxie went, bark, 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 bark. And they had a little conversation, not too loud. They put Buster to bed. They put Ling Mi and Ming Li to bed. They put little Clem to bed. Then Dr. Goodlight came out, and Shui Huang, and they sat down around the kitchen table. Dr. Goodlight said, well, look, we've got to get you to your space cruiser, Igglypop. It's sitting over in that garage with Solomon Cuttlefish, but we got to get this moving. We got to get you back home because this is not good. And Shui Huang said, yes, as a matter of fact, and she pulled out the newspaper. Well, it wasn't really the newspaper. It used to be the newspaper. You know, long ago, people used to get actual paper. Every day, you'd get a whole bunch of paper, and you'd open it up, and it was the newspaper. Well, it was really her tablet. She had a big tablet, and she had the news of the day in the tablet. And you know what the headlines were? The headlines were from Wyoming, where citizens had called into the local police, had called into the local government, and said, we saw a huge asteroid come crashing down. We saw space aliens come crashing down. We saw huge lights in the sky come crashing down. And it was all the reports of this bright light that came out of the sky and crash-landed somewhere in Wyoming. Clem Goodlight looked at Igglypop, and he said, you, good sir, that's you. Well, Igglypop said, well, of course I had a lot of light. When I come through the atmosphere, I heat up. And when I heat up, you make light. What's this problem? Well, he hadn't realized that on Earth, it wasn't common for big things to come crashing through the atmosphere and light up really brightly that fast and with such speed. And so he didn't know that there was a big alarm. Everybody was upset. Where is it? And they had search teams going out to look for the asteroid. They had people thinking they could find asteroid fragments and sell them on eBay. They had all sorts of things. But Clem Goodlight knew that the United People's Conglomerate was going to be very interested too. And they were already coming back to him saying, Dr. Goodlight, can we talk to you again? So he said to Igglypop, 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 we've got to figure this out. You've got to come with me tomorrow, and we've got to go look at your space cruiser. Well, Igglypop said, well, I can do that. That's a good idea. I think I need to anyway, because the space cruiser, well, I have to look at the motor robots, because they really are giving me a hard time. They're very unruly, and I have to talk to them and work on them. And, if I had my tool set, I could really do some things with that little machine person of yours. So Dr. Goodlight said, yes, well, let's do that. We'll plan to go out first thing in the morning, and I'll drive you to the garage, and then I'll go to school, and then I'll come back and pick you up. But we have to go really early while it's dark, before the sun's up, so nobody will see you. Even with that Stetson hat, it's going to be hard to disguise you. So that's what they agreed to do. But then they stayed up way into the light, because Dr. Goodlight was saying, now, Igglypuff, you, sir, you are a very interesting space alien, this first I've ever met. Tell me about outer space. Well, Igglypuff said, oh, well, how about if you tell me about outer space? So Clem Goodlight said, okay. And then he started his astrophysicist astronomy lectures. And he started talking about the universe and the way the universe was expanding and the Big Bang and how everything had started and how they could chart the universe with the Hubble telescope 100 years ago. And now they were still trying to work on it. And they had space telescopes out around the moon, and they were looking at the universe, and they had figured out how it worked. And Igglypuff listened to him and said, Huh? What's wrong with these people? They think this is, huh? Oh, my goodness. So when Clem Goodlight had started run down, they said, well, there you go. That's what we know right now, just to make it easy on you. Igglypuff said, oh, no. If that's what you think, oh, no. Listen, we'll start with Astronomics 101. This is how we teach it in Janakapalala, because he had been a tutor to little Janakapalalans when he was a teenager. And he started talking about the universe, and he started talking about the breadth of the universe and the galaxy, and that there was only one Milky Way galaxy, and that Milky Way galaxy was just one of trillions of galaxies, and they were all in this whole universe of galaxies that was almost endless. And then he started talking about the black holes and the way the black holes connected the whole galaxy. And then when you get into the light channel, then the black holes would be able to be connected through the light channel. And then your ion motor would give you through the light channel. And if you had a big space cruiser, you could get up to 10 times the speed of light, sometimes 25 times the speed of light. You could really cook along. Ooh, get going. And so you'd go fast. And Clem Goodlight said, huh? What? Because he couldn't believe this. And then Igglypuff started talking about the gravitron motor. Well, we do have a gravitron motor, because when we're in the gravity well, like on Earth here, we have to get out fast. So we turn on the gravitron motor, and we aim it at the strongest gravitational pull we can. Well, in that case, in your case, it would be what you call the sun. But in our case, it would be our sun, which we call... I forget the name of the sun. It was Balakapalola or something. Oh, Babalababa. That's their sun. The Janakapalola sun is Babalababa. But anyway, they aim the gravitron at the biggest star they can. They turn it on, and the gravitron is pulled by the star. And then once they get going in outer space, then they turn on their space engine, and they scoot past the star, and they aim at another huge star. And that pulls it along until they get close to the black hole. And then the black hole gravity sucks it in. They turn on their ion motor into the light channel. And then he started talking about nova and black holes and how stars are born and how stars die and the life cycle of stars and planets and how many planets there are that have creatures. And he started talking about the Minwin-Cholab confabulation, which Janakapalala was just one of the thousands of planets. And he talked all and on and into the night. Clem Goodlight was absolutely stunned. Astonished, amazed. He said, I never knew. And Igglypuff said, well, maybe there's a reason you never knew. That's because you're stuck here on this little planet, oh kindly space alien creature. So finally they went to bed. And Igglypuff lay down in little Clem's bed and went to sleep. And everybody slept for a couple hours, and the alarm went off, and then they had to get up. And Clem said, okay, we got to go. I got some pancakes here. Put them in your dissolver later. You have to eat on the road. He stuck the Stetson on Igglypuff's hat, put his new clothes on, put them in the truck, and they took off. And they drove to Solomon Cuttlefish's. And then Clem dropped him off, and Solomon Cuttlefish was at the door. And he said, oh, I'm glad you made it. I think we need to get working on this. So he took Igglypuff into his garage. Well, he introduced him to Mrs. Cuttlefish, and he introduced him to Curtis. Well, Curtis, as you remember, is friends with Timmy Tommy Toby. And Curtis said, oh, are you a space alien creature? And Iggy Pop, who was, of course, very polite, leaned over and he said, "Oh, little space alien creature, glad to meet you." And his communicabulator said, "Oh, very glad to meet you, little space alien creature." And Curtis said, "Wow, I've never met a space alien." He couldn't wait to tell Timmy, Tommy, Toby. So he went off to school, and his mother said, "Don't you talk to anybody about this man." Curtis said, "I won't, Mom, but you know who he's going to tell." And then he took off to school. And then Mrs. Cuttlefish said, "Well, I'll be in here. You just do what you have to do and let me know if you need anything." So Igglypop climbed into a space cruiser. He felt like he was back home again. You know, if you've ever been someplace where you just, it's nice, it's kind, people are good to you, you're very happy, but when you get home, oh, there's no place like home. And this was his space cruiser. He sat down on his webbed pilot seat and he just relaxed for a second. He said, "Oh, I'm so glad to be home." Then he punched up the electricity, punched on the machine, turned on all his lights, turned on his dashboard, and then he started running. He got out his toolkit. He had an extensive toolkit. My, oh, my, oh, my. His toolkit made Clem Goodlight's toolkit look like a very, very primitive set of tools. He pulled out his toolkit, and he started fiddling with all of the computer banks on the side of the space cruiser, and he started putting readouts. It takes to figure out why his motor robots were being so unruly and not talking to him. Well, the bottom line is, when he tried to push his space cruiser over 7 light years an hour, a second, right? He was trying to break a record. His robots all said, "This is not fair. This is not right. This isn't the way to do it. We're going to quit." And so they quit, and they got snitty, and they wouldn't help. And they said, "No, we quit. We don't have to do this because we don't have to. We don't like you." And if they were little boys, they might have stuck out their tongues. But they didn't, because they were just motor robots. But they wouldn't talk to him. He cocked, and he went down to his machines, and he pulled up his dashboards, and he pulled up his schematics, and he tried rerouting, and he tried to turn off all of the robots and take a manual attempt to start his motors. His robots would have none of it, because they knew the schematics better than he did. And every time he tried to change the schematics and send a new route, a command to a different route of electricity, they would just sit there and turn the switch off. Boop! And he couldn't get through. So he could start his motors. If he wanted to, he could probably have backed out of the garage and he could have putzed down the street, which would have looked pretty funny because you'd see a big, huge, long sea cucumber going down the street. It would have been strange, but he could have done it. He could probably have used full power and gotten into the air and then scooted through the air. But he couldn't have done that for long because he didn't have that much power for, you know, air travel like that. That's not normally how they drove anyway. And if you can imagine, if you saw a sea cucumber in flight, a big long sea cucumber in flight, you'd think it was very strange and that was maybe a space alien creature. So he was safe in the garage, but he could not get his robots to talk to him, and he could not get his robots to work. He was getting very frustrated, just like Dr. Goodlight with his Grass Avenger. So he worked all day. He worked. At lunchtime, Mrs. Cuttlefish came out and said, "Oh, space alien creature, Mr. Igglypop, would you like some lunch?" Igglypop stopped and said, "Oh, good space alien creature, I would love something to eat. I am so hungry, I haven't had anything to eat." She said, "Well, would you like a cup of coffee?" And Igglypop said, "Oh, I would, sure." His communicabulator was very positive about that. So she brought out some coffee, and he took his little tentacle hair, and he stuck it in the coffee. It was hot, but he started sipping slowly, and the caffeine went and hit his neurons, and it was as though he had just had a good night's sleep, and he was awake again. Boing! And he said, "Oh, space alien creature, what is this? Drink." And she said, "Oh, it's coffee, but I'll bring you some water, too. I have some good cold water." So he finished his cup of coffee, and oh, my goodness, he was like a new space alien creature. And she brought out a couple bottles of water, and he opened them, and he drank some more water. And then she brought out some bologna sandwiches with plenty of mustard and Swiss cheese. And he said, these look very interesting. And he opened his dissolver pouch and put them in. Well, Mrs. Cuttlefish had never seen that, and she was kind of like, oh my goodness. But anyway, he dissolved the bologna sandwiches, and then he sucked them up and said, oh, that's a very interesting sandwich. Ooh, I like that. You know what he liked the best? He liked the mustard. Oh, he did. He drank that up. And she said, "Well, I have some strawberries you can have and some blueberries too." So he put some blueberries in and some strawberries. And then he ate those and he liked that. And then later on that afternoon, while he was working, she came out with some yogurt. And she said, "Have you ever had yogurt, Mr. Igglypop?" And Igglypop stopped and said, "Oh, kind space alien creature, I don't know what yogurt is." So he dipped his tentacle hair into the yogurt and he, oh, boy, did he like that yogurt. There was nothing on Janaka Palala like yogurt. He started to think, my, oh, my, these humans know how to eat. These humans are very good with food. Oh, I have to remember this. This is someplace I have to know about. Well, he spent all day on his space cruiser. He could not get it to go. He got all the lights turned on. He could listen to some music if he wanted. He could talk on the radio. He could follow the radio. As a matter of fact, he picked up all sorts of radio programs, all sorts of frequencies, because he had a multi-frequency unit. And his communicobobulator was starting to pick up old news from everywhere. And he had news from all over the earth. And he said, "You know what? Maybe I'll leave this on. I'll do a multi-channel search and I'll just tape it. I'll put it on to record. And I'll record all the audio so we can play it later on." Well, that was very interesting for him to do, because when it recorded the audio, later on, when everybody was asleep, it picked up the audio from the United People's Conglomerate saying, "Alien alert! Alien alert! Alien among us!" But nobody heard that, and nobody knew about it. And then late that night, Clem Goodlight came home. He came over, and he picked him up, and he drove Igglypop back home. And they had another dinner, and the kids were playing with him, and they went to bed. And then they spent all night talking about astrophysics again. And Igglypop told him all about motors and gravitron motors and how the robots were being unruly, and he just couldn't stand it. Well, the next day, the same thing happened. Clem drove him to Mr. Cuttlefish's garage. He sat in his spaceship. He's yelling and screaming at the robots, "You listen to me!" They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't give him a peep. He couldn't start the motors. He was so frustrated. But Mrs. Cuttlefish brought out some more yogurt and some more bologna sandwiches. Ooh, he loved it, and strawberries and blueberries. And he said, "Would you like to try a pear or an apple or a banana?" Oh, he had a pear, he had a banana, he had two apples. Ooh, these are very good. He had some applesauce. Ah, he was gaining weight because he was eating so much. Well, that night, Professor Goodlight came home. And with him was another fellow. And Igglypop looked and said, "Oh, look who that is. That's the same fellow that stopped when we were stuck on the road." And in walked GP. And Dr. Goodlight said, "Well, here this young man came to my office today and said he'd love to be able to talk to you. And Igglypop, I thought now that your communicobobulator is working so well, maybe you could talk to him and tell him some things about Janaka Palala, because he seems very interested." And GP looked at him and said, "Mr. Igglypop, I'm so glad to see you again. You're looking great, and my, I like your clothes. Oh, my goodness." And so Igglypop said, "Oh, we'll sit down and talk." So they sat down, and then Shui Huang said, "Is can I get anybody anything?" And Igglypop said, "Do you have coffee?" Oh, Shui Huang made a whole round of coffee, and they all sat drinking coffee, and his mind perked up, and he started talking to GP about all about Janaka Palala and how people lived and how it was one big city. And GP had this strange little machine person out that seemed to be recording what he was saying. "Well, that's okay. It'll be good." And the recording was recording. And then underneath that was the communicopopulator speaking and talking and talk, 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 talk. Well, they were into the middle of it when Maxie came in. "Oof, oof, 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 oof." Shui Huang said, "What, Maxie, what?" And Clem Goodlight said, "Maxie, what, what? Woof, 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 woof." "Well, what's that all about? Oh, he must be agitated. There's something. He's trying to tell us something." Well, Igglypop stopped. He listened. And the communicobobulator listened. And then the communicobobulator said, "Woof, woof, 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 woof." And Maxie went, "Woof, woof, 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 woof." And Igglypop turned around and said, "I've been talking to Maxie." Clem Goodlight said, "You've been what?" I've been talking to Maxie, and Maxie says there are some strange alien creatures outside, some strange people alien creatures. There are a lot of them, and they seem to be coming to this house, and they seem to be surrounding us, and he doesn't think they're up to any good." And Clem Goodlight said, "Oh no, Oh no, oh no, oh no, that must be the United People Conglomerate. They're coming. Oh, we got to do something with you, Iggy Pop. We got to do something. What can we do? And GP said, hey, I can take them out the back door, put them in my Jeep and take off. They'll never think of my Jeep because they haven't seen me. We'll take them. I'll take them to my place. So they put the Stetson on and they put his clothes on. And then Dr. Goodlatte said, I don't know what are we going to do about his nose mouth? How are we going to hide it? And then GP said, well, do you have a breathing mask? Like if you had a cold, you had a flu and you had a little breathing mask, do you have one of those? And Shui Huang said, well, sure we do. We have a couple in case the kids have a cold. We send them to school with those masks. Well, let's put one on him. He can be sick. So they put one on him. Then indeed, it looked like he was a sick man, very tall, but sick. And then GP said, let's go. And they ducked out the back door. And they ducked into his Jeep, and GP took off. And then just as he took off, the front doorbell rang. And Dr. Goodlatte went to the doorbell, and he looked in. He opened the door, and he said, yes, may I help you? And in the front door was this big, fat guy. And he said, yes, I am Major Himmelstein, and I will have to talk to you. And he pulled out a badge, and he showed him. And it was United People Conglomerate Military Police. And Dr. Goodlatte said, oh, Major Himmelstein, well, come in, and sit down, have a seat. Would you like some coffee? So they offered him some coffee. And Major Himmelstein said, we have heard reports that there is an alien creature here. And Dr. Goodlatte said, an alien creature? You mean Baxi the dog? Dr. Himmelstein was not pleased. He said, no, a big alien creature. And he landed in a spaceship, and we need to find him. Dr. Goodlatte said, spaceship? Where's this spaceship? Dr. Himmelstein said, I don't know, and you have to help me. Well, that went on for 2 hours. Dr. Goodlatte was working and working, not to say anything, not to let out the news, not to say anything. He said, no, I know. Well, look through the house. Go ahead. So Major Himmelstein looked through the house. They couldn't see a stretch of any alien creature, no space alien creature, nothing. And he came back and said, Dr. Goodlatte, I want you to know that we'll be watching you, and I hope you're telling us the truth. And he left. And all the cars left. And everybody left. Then Shui Huang and Clem Goodlatte sat down, and they said, oh dear, we're in for it. We've got to help Iggy Pop. He's got to get out of here. I don't know what to do. And they didn't know what to do. But meanwhile, GP had gone back to his apartment with Iggy Pop, and he said, look, Iggy Pop, you can have my bed. I'll sleep on the couch, and we'll figure out what to do in the morning. So Iggy Pop said, oh, thank you, kind space alien creature, you are so good. You rescued us before, and now you're rescuing us again. You're very kind. I have to remember that kindness. And GP said, oh, no, that's okay. I do it for anybody, but this is important. And besides, tell me about Janaka Palala. So they sat down, and then GP made a big pot of coffee. Something tells me that Iggy Pop really likes coffee. And he started talking about Janaka Palala. And GP started recording. And he asked questions. He asked questions about his dad and his mom, about how they ruled the planet, what the whole Minwin Cholab confabulation was like, how many planets, what were people. They talked way into the night, and then they went to sleep for the next day. Well, that, my dear William, is the end of today's story. We have to get Iggy Pop into his space cruiser and out the door. And he does. And I'll tell you one hint before I finish this story. He gets rescued because Curtis Cuttlefish promised he wouldn't tell anyone, but 3T, Timmy Tommy Toby, isn't just anyone. And he told Timmy Tommy Toby, and he said, oh, I met this space alien creature. You have to come see him. And Timmy Tommy Toby said, I'll come over tomorrow after school. And he said, no, before school. You have to meet him before school, because then he goes into a space cruiser. Timmy Tommy Toby said, there's a space cruiser? Yes, in my dad's garage. It's a space cruiser. Looks like a sea cucumber, but it's a space cruiser. Oh, well, I'll come over in the morning. And he did. And guess who he brought? He brought Squeaky Toy. And guess who's the best help ever for Iggy Pop? Oh, I think you know. I think you do. But I won't tell you that till the next story. So have a good night tonight, William. Sleep tight. Give your sister Lauren a hug. Give your mama and dad a hug. Say good night to your cousin Ellie, and I will tell you another story as soon as I think it up. Love you, William. Good night.